Hello and welcome to All Things Travel. Today, we continue our discussion of planning a Walt Disney World vacation, and it's all about Disney food. We've brought in our friends from the Happiest Plate on Earth podcast to help us digest it all. You're listening to All Things Travel, episode 42, original air date, April 7th, 2021.
Well, Shane, today we are continuing our discussion about planning for a Disney vacation. Last episode, remember, we talked about choosing and booking the accommodations and tickets that we wanted, and we're moving forward in our planning process to day 60 before we go to the parks, because that's an important day, because that's when we choose our dining reservations, right?
That is correct. And don't wait until day 60 to decide where you want to go.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should say that. Yes. Yeah. Right.
But that is the day that you need to be up early and on your My Disney Experience app and making your Disney dining reservations.
And I'm excited today because we've invited some of our friends. As you know, Shane, you've brought up on the podcast several times. I co-host a weekly podcast all about Disney food called The Happiest Plate on Earth. And today we have Christy Rada and Wendy Korn here with us, my other two co-hosts, and we're excited to talk all about Disney food. Welcome, ladies. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's nice to be and see you on the other side of your podcast world. So thanks for having us.
A look inside.
So Christy, why don't you briefly introduce yourself to everybody?
Thanks for that, Ryan. Just like the three of you, I am also a travel advisor specializing in Disney destinations. And as I became a travel advisor, and even prior to that, I found myself really diving into Disney food, because I think for a long time, there was a misconception about what was Disney food. Is it really just like your traditional park fare? And as we all have discovered, it is that and a whole lot more. So I really wanted to go about helping really bring to the surface and to the knowledge of lots of people who will be traveling to Disney destinations that you're going to have an amazing time with the food as well. So yeah, thanks.
Great. And how about you, Wendy?
Well, just like you all, I am also a travel advisor, travel agent, and I do specialize in all things Disney, and I love to help my clients. I have loved Disney pretty much my whole life, and my children fell in love with Disney as they were born and led to the parks at a very young age, and they're great support. So I have a lot of fun helping plan Disney trips, and I love to talk Disney food.
All right. Well, I'm excited to get to the discussion today. First, though, I want to remind folks that Disney does have a good promotion going on right now. If this show sparks your interest in booking a trip, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. So stick around. So Shane, tell us about that 60-day mark. We're 2 months out from our trip. What are the decisions we have to make on this day?
By then, you want to know where you want to eat and what days, what times of day you want to eat there. You might want to know a few other things. For instance, if you're going to play some golf or do a little fishing. And then at Hollywood Studios, that would also include some reservations you would need for Savi's workshop if you want to make a lightsaber, or for Droid Depot if you want to make yourself a little remote-controlled droid.
And so most people think of dining as far as 60 days here. And Christy, you talked a little bit about Disney having a little something for every taste when it comes to dining. Elaborate on that a little bit more for us.
Sure. You know, for a long time, I think there was the misconception of when you travel to Disney parks, the standard fare is going to be popcorn, pretzels, hot dog, and some chicken fingers and bad hamburgers.
And sounds good to me. How about you, Wendy?
I love it.
Got a thumbs up right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I like a lot of those. But I think early on, especially we learned a little bit about Walt Disney himself and the fact that he liked simple food, but he also wanted people to be able to dine well. And so Disney has taken that to, I think, an extreme level. So the awesome thing is that if your palate is one that is, I don't want to say less refined, but just a standard fare. You know, you like meat and potatoes, you do like the chicken and things like that. You're going to be fed and fed extremely well at Disney parks. Now, if you like to be a little more adventurous, if you like to branch out, they've got all of that covered too. Even if you're, I would say, like a spice head and you really like those spicy foods, Disney has that as well. So they really have gone to great lengths in making sure that no matter what you want to experience food-wise, you're going to have the opportunity to taste that when you're in a Disney park.
Sounds good. Now, Wendy, as we're thinking about dining, there's several different types of dining that you can do at Disney. Can you explain those different types?
Sure. Of course, snacks. And there are snacks located in every park, pretty much everywhere you turn. There's a sort of a snack cart or kiosk that would be available to you. They also offer quick service. And these are what I always tell my clients. These are like fast food restaurants. Right. You're going to walk up to the counter. Yeah. You're going to walk up to that counter, you're going to order, they're going to give you your food, and then you're going to go find your seat. And that's the way I equate that to all of my clients. And lastly, there are table services. And these table services before COVID also included the buffets, but we have all learned that they're not coming back just yet. But table service restaurants are where you walk into the restaurant, you're seated, you have a waiter or waitress, wait staff member that will take your order and then bring your food to you. Or it could be served family style because that is back. So that's the three different options you have for food. Oh, and signature dining. I'm so sorry. I left that out. Signature dining is also a table service meal, but these are a few restaurants that are located throughout the majority of the deluxe resorts. I don't believe there's any found in the parks. And these are going to be a little higher scale. The dress code is found to be a little different than the other restaurants. And the food is going to be different than what is offered at the other places. My podcast host, Christy, is laughing at me. And I'm going to tell y'all, our podcast listeners know I haven't been to a signature dining place because they're not going to have what I want to eat, people. So, but you know what? And I loved what Christy said. There is something for everybody right. at Disney. There's food of all flavors and types. And I can find something and everybody can find something that they're going to love to eat there.
So just to give you an idea, and then I want to hear from everybody about kind of your best tips for value. So a snack would probably be around $6 per snack. A quick service meal would probably be between $10 to $15. A table service would be between $20 and $30, depending on what you order. And then obviously, based on what Wendy said, a signature dining is going to be more than that. Based on that level of food and service. So for you all, what are kind of your best tips for getting the value out of Disney food?
Well, I would say right away, it's portion size.
Yep.
You think of a snack and then you look at the size of a pretzel. I don't share pretzels, but some people might. I mean, because they're...
I don't share anything. So
we know that, yes. So they're bigger, but you will be surprised at the actual size of a lot of the Disney snacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you even in the Magic Kingdom over at Friar Nooks, they have tater tots, but they call them potato barrels, and it's potato a buffalo. Barrels. Yeah, and so it's got... cheese and buffalo sauce and chicken on there. Well, it's a really big portion. And that's a snack. That Disney counts it as a snack. And that is easily shareable. And so I think that the value of that is really looking at those portion sizes. And believe me, lots of people are going to be walking around. So if you're not sure, just look at what they have. And oh, look, they've got that Nutella waffle from over at Sleepy Hollow. And that's really big as well. And that's a snack item.
I think the last time I was at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, I was having one of the Ronto wraps, which is, and I realized not everybody listening to this show is well-versed in Disney food. So we maybe use some names of things, but I was having a Ronto wrap. And I think over the 10 minutes of me eating that, well, let's be serious, 5 minutes of me eating that, 3 minutes of me eating that, I would say three or four different people stopped and said, what is that? And where did you get it? So you can just kind of look around.
Did you tell them or did you keep it our little secret?
No.
It's a secret.
Of course I told them. I love Ronto wraps. I want everyone to. So Shane, how about you? What tip would you have for getting the best value out of eating at Disney?
Well, speaking of the portion sizes, even the quick service meals, just a regular meal is probably going to be enough for two.
Sure.
And then now and then, you can get a child's meal if you're not that hungry instead of getting a full meal. I've I've ordered child's meals several times at Disney's, never been turned down for that. We usually split. We've never been turned down for splitting a meal. So don't rule out splitting meals to save a little money and to make sure you don't get too full when you're walking around the parks and about to get on a thrilling ride.
Yeah. One of the, is to go along with both what Christy and Shane are saying, one of the things that I always tell people is always ask. You know, I've been places where I've ordered the ribs and I don't want an entire rack of ribs. That's too much. I don't really ever say that's too much, but it should be too much for me. And so I'll say, can I get half a rack? Yes, you can. Or, you know, my dad and I actually split the dinner with the full rack of ribs and we told them that and they brought them on two separate plates. The sides were portioned into, the ribs were portioned into. So you can always ask. Well, that's one good thing that Disney does is you can pretty much get what you want.
Yeah. Wendy, that's a great point.
What's a tip that you have?
You know, I was going to mention to be smart with your snack choices too. And to be smart with what you have in your resort room. Now, for those of you who fly, I understand that, you know, you have to be careful what you pack or careful what you get, but we often talk about the garden grocers and the delivery services. So you can have some stuff in your resort room. When we were taking our young children, the thing they knew they couldn't ask for, we wouldn't spend money on a bottled drink because we wanted to spend it somewhere else. So be smart about what you're choosing. They're going to sell fresh fruit and I love fresh fruit and I think it's great, but I don't want to pay that price for it. So if you could have that delivered to your room, then you could carry that in and then buy something that is a larger size snack that you could share or something that's not going to be something every day that you can get at home or at the grocery stores. And watch what time of the day you're eating these snacks. We really never did snack a lot because I would pack our own snacks to take in and then we would eat counter service meal and a table service meal. So I just didn't ever, you know, that was a good way to save money because I could bring our snacks in. So, you know, choose what you want and maybe offer one of those a day. And then you don't feel like, and of course the dining plan would come with two. So we always had that when we were on the dining plan, but you know, just be smart with what you're choosing. Don't buy something small if it's going to cost you the same price of something that you possibly could share later. You can always right. carry Ziploc bags in the park. And we've done this, bag up the rest of whatever you've got for snack. If Christy shares the pretzels, she may not, but you can put that in a Ziploc bag because my children never wanted a lot to eat at one time, but they wanted to eat a lot of times a day.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, and I could pull that bag out and here's the rest of this pretzel again in an hour and a half when she wanted it again.
I'd like to highlight something that Wendy said is don't buy stuff at the park that you can get at home. There's so many things at the park yeah. that you can't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Don't get those snacks, the M&Ms or the potato chips.
Yeah. Yeah. That's stuff you can get at home.
Mm-hmm. We're helping people as we talk about the 60-day mark, kind of make their plan. My tip is choose one table service a day. Or if you don't want to have a table service every day, have several special meals throughout your trip. Because again, at that 60-day mark is you're going to make reservations for anything where you sit down. What suggestions do you all have for kind of planning that framework? If somebody's going to be there for a week, let's say, what suggestions would you give them for kind of mapping that out?
First and foremost, you've got to have your park day reservations made. Sure. You've got to know at which park you're going. I mean, let's start from the beginning and like you're a client and then you've got to know what parks you're going to right. on those days. And you already have to do some investigative work or speak to your travel advisor. And I always offer my opinion. Of course, it's just an opinion. We may not eat the same way, but you need to have some ideas of the restaurants that are available in that park that are table service. Do your kids want to do a character meal? How many character meals are you going to do that week if you're not doing one a day? You know, if you're going to do a table service restaurant, you need to figure out, like Shane had said earlier, if we're planning on making droids, we don't want to make the droid time or the lightsaber time at the same time we're trying to have our lunch. And,
right.
you know, a good tip that Christy has often shared on our show is that you can have that table service meal at lunch and it be at a little better price point than having that table service meal for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are things you've got to know up front.
And to go off of that, Wendy, keep in mind, as you're starting to look at options, your resort might also have good table service options, or a resort near where you are
exactly
may have that too. There's it's not just eating in the parks, but also the resorts have a lot of restaurant options. And then Disney Springs, which is Disney's shopping and eating district, also has tons of options.
Yes.
So Christy, what do you say? If I'm coming to you and I'm saying I want to plan meals, and I've talked to, you know, I've taken Wendy's advice and I've kind of thought about what my family wants, do you have any other suggestions for me?
Yeah, the biggest one that I really try to tell clients and friends that are going is don't stress. I mean, it's kind of great to figure out a few places that you really, really want to go to, but don't make them like five or six that you have to put in this trip. Right. Just pick one or two that are the ones that you really want to focus on, that character meals that they're bringing back, or a signature dining that you've always wanted to try, and focus on getting those. And I know we're going to talk about this later. If it doesn't happen right away when you're making those plans, don't stress about that either. And then, you know, the great thing about Disney is that you can go down there and eat snacks or quick service the whole time and still do really well, or you can go down there and kind of make it a gourmet experience,
right,
which is fantastic. So I think you really kind of have to figure out what style of eating you're going to be doing from this particular trip, and then kind of build off of that.
And understand, it's not going to make or break your trip if you don't
get in
that one restaurant. I understand there's a lot you want to get into, but sometimes some of these reservations go at, if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 35 seconds, the day is full.
Yep.
So, you know, and keep moving on, and we will give you options as to how to find those reservations, hopefully later. But remember, it's not going to make or break your trip.
Right. Shane, how about you? Any suggestions when it comes to the kind of planning the framework?
I tend to let dining be an afterthought with my own trips, and that's not a good idea. The better idea is to let the dining be part of the experience, because even if the food is not your favorite choice, the theming at the restaurant is going to be great. You're going to enjoy
the experience.
The whole experience. Yeah. So let the dining be a part of the experience of your park experience. But then also keeping in mind what Wendy said is, don't, if you don't get the exact dining reservation that you want, don't let it ruin the rest of your experience. Kind of roll with it and know that whatever you get is still going to be a great meal and a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So we've kind of made a plan. We know some restaurants that we want to get reservations for. We have a map of our week. We know where we're going to be and when, and the 60-day mark hits. Now, some of you who haven't been to Disney in a while, you're like, wait a minute, I thought dining reservations were at 180 days. They used to be. We're still recording during COVID time here. And so it's the 60-day mark is now when you make those reservations. So we get up and we make those reservations, or we have our travel advisor make those reservations. First of all, what are some tips for making sure you get the reservations you want to get? And if you don't get those reservations that day, how can you be on the lookout? What are some tools to use to help you along the way?
I think one thing to remember when you're making your reservations is to make them in order of importance, not in the order that you're going to go to them.
Yes.
And just
that is number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if your vacation is beginning on October 1st, happy birthday, Magic Kingdom, then on August 2nd, you can get up that morning and make your dining reservations. So whatever your most important dining experience is, maybe plan that a little later in the week, because on August 2nd, you don't just make your reservations for that first day. You can make reservations for your entire trip. And your first day, there's going to be people that have been making reservations for that day for a week or so. You give yourself a better chance of getting the dining that you want by putting it later in the week. And then on the date you can make the reservations, you make that one first. And then when you make sure you get the experiences that you want, then you can go back in chronological order just to make sure you get each thing you want on each day you're going to be there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Christy, what suggestions would you make?
Like I had talked about earlier, to not stress about it. So, you know, if you do all that planning and you get to it and you click that button and there are no available times, and it can kind of be disappointing. So you kind of pick something that is a place filler. And then the great thing about having your My Disney experience online, but also having it as a mobile app, is that you can frequently check back and open up that application and go to that dining time, and you can hit modify, and then you can search and see if maybe that one that you were really wanting has become available.
Yep.
And the other thing is that with Disney, you have a 24-hour kind of cushion to cancel your reservations. So you could actually be in a park and looking at your plans for, say, the next day, and you haven't been able to get that one reservation that you really wanted. And so you're just waiting in line. And sometimes that's when I usually will take my phone out and look through the app. And then all of a sudden, it's like magic. That reservation appears because someone might have canceled or another window opens up. So that's a great way. So just don't stress about it. You just got to kind of keep trying.
Yep. Wendy, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I want to take what Christy's talking about and go another step further, because a lot of people who love Disney do actually book more than one table service a day because they do want to give themselves some choices and their family. So they may book several restaurants, and then as long as you cancel a full day ahead of time, you're not penalized for that. So it's real key that you start looking for that reservation, because some people may have booked two or three table services. They're obviously only going to eat one, maybe two, and they'll start letting go of those others. So it is, you may find the day before, you may find your reservation open at the time you want. And keep in mind, eating at off times, not everybody has to eat dinner between 5 and 7. If you'll eat a little earlier or a little later, those time slots might be available longer than the traditional timeframes.
The other thing is that a lot of with Disney reservations, if you cancel 30 days ahead of your check-in date, then, you know, you get the refund. So a lot of people book that trip, put their deposit down, and something happens where they're not able to make it.
That's true.
Check back 30 days before before your trip starts, because the people who were going at the same time as you may not be going.
That's right.
Right. So a couple inside baseball things here when it comes to the nuts and bolts of actually reserving. A lot of restaurants at Disney Springs also have reservations available on OpenTable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you can call the restaurant directly and get reservations that aren't necessarily on the reservation system for Disney. I've also found that and this is more of an ease of use, doing it on the computer is easier than doing it on your phone. And then thirdly, when you're making multiple reservations, like Shane's talking about, you're going from the most important and then you do the rest of your week. And all of a sudden you're wondering, why is nothing coming up on this random restaurant for that day? The date reverts back to the day that you're making the reservation, not the day you're looking for. So I've had that happen before, where when I go to a new restaurant to look for a reservation, I don't change the date. So the last thing I would say is make sure when you move on to that next reservation to make, you make sure you change it to the right date, because the computer will actually revert back to the date that you're actually on the computer finding the reservation. So I've had that before where I'm wondering why I can't find a reservation for 60 days or 100 days, 180 days in advance, and it had reverted back to the day that I was making it. So just a couple kind of technical things as you're doing that.
Do we want to let them in on our secret?
Ooh.
About
secrets.
The one where if you miss that 24-hour window, a way to kind of skirt the issue.
I think that'd be a good little tip to share to make them say, wow, I should be listening to this Happiest Plate on Earth podcast.
All the time.
Because I'm going to learn some stuff every week. Yes, please share.
Yeah. So if you're in that the 24-hour window and you realize that, oh, crud, we are not going to make that reservation. What you can do is open up your My Disney Experience app, go to that reservation, and there's the button that says modify reservation. It won't let you cancel it because you're within that 24-hour window. But what you do is you modify it, and then you pick a date 3, 4, 5 days away. And most likely there's going to be a reservation for that restaurant on that day. Times doesn't matter. You can change all of that. So you go ahead and modify the date, the time if necessary, and then you change that reservation. And then 20 minutes later or so, open your app back up and go ahead and cancel that reservation out. And that way you kind of skirt the issue of being penalized that no-show fee.
Yep. And I've even done it immediately. Changed it. Nice. The modification's gone through and I've canceled it.
Hey, nice. Speaking of, I do want to tell people this too, because, you know, I'm so very tech savvy. The app is really great when you're in the park or when you're on property. But if you're at home, you really need to be using your My Disney Experience on whatever device you have other than the app. And I used to not understand that, but the speed is better, the timing is better, and it's just things don't get lost. And it finally, I had Disney employees telling me when I was calling in, I'm like, why can't I do this? And he's like, are you using the app? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no, get on the computer. So, you know, y'all be better tech forward than me and don't use your app unless you're really in the park on property. And that's, it's immediate timing, but they really want you to try to use the computer program, whatever that's called. Fill in the blank, Ryan.
So if you've gotten to this point and you haven't, and you have not ever been to Disney or dined at Disney and made reservations and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know what in the world everybody's talking about. Shameless plug, you know, we are happy to help you. We're happy to help you as your travel advisor. You know, this is something that we do for our clients every single day.
And remember, if you have any dietary restrictions, just let them know. One time at Ronto Roasters, because it's the only place where Ryan and I eat, apparently. One time at Ronto Roasters, my kid needed a gluten-free meal. So we asked the cast member if they had any gluten-free options. And she stopped down, went and got one of the chefs, brought the chef back to ask my kid what her needs were. And she told him, you know, she just needed something gluten-free. And so he was able to make her a gluten-free version of the Ronto Roaster wrap. So
very good.
They can handle just about any mm-hmm. dietary restrictions. So be sure you let them know so you can enjoy your trip to the fullest.
And again, Shane's example is a quick service, basically a snack. You know, at a restaurant, it's even mm-hmm. more than that. I mean, I've seen chefs come out to the table and talk. Mm-hmm. When the four of us were at a travel agent event earlier this year, one of our friends couldn't eat the food that they were serving for appetizers. The chef actually left the table, the serving table, went into the restaurant in the resort and brought him out his own plate of food so that he could enjoy food there at the little cocktail hour that we had there. So.
And I should also say that when he brought it out to us brought out our food, he said it was basically ended up just being the sausages because the pita had gluten in it. And he hands it to the cast member and he says, here, it's on us. I can't charge them for just the sausages. So we ended up not having to pay for the nice. Snack.
There yeah. you go.
And I will say to that as well, when you're making the table service reservations online, mm-hmm. you go through a process where you're clicking. And one of the questions that they ask is, does anyone in your party have any dietary restrictions? Mm-hmm. And they'll give you items to check. And so the great thing is that when you check in for your table service, usually the cast member will say, oh, yeah. I see someone in your party has an allergy. Can you tell me who that is? And so Disney is fantastic about that.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. So the next topic I want to talk about is mobile ordering. So this is something that Disney put out there a while ago, and some people knew about it and some people took advantage of it. And now with the guidelines due to COVID, everybody is required to use it. I personally love it. It's essentially pre-ordering your quick service and snack foods on the app while you're in the parks. What do people need to know about mobile ordering?
Easy.
Well, I would say it's not hard. You just need to get familiar with your app. Your app is something you're going to want to start looking over, finding the plus sign down at the bottom, and that brings up several options. I love mobile ordering. I kind of am sad that it's becoming the way that everybody has to do it, because it used to be just incredible to order.
It used to be a Jedi trick. I looked really bougie
walking out there saying, the secret, I'm here, and them handing me my food. They were all looking at me like, who am I? So I am kind of sad that the secret's out, but it is out, and it works very well. And when the parks are busy, even at 40% capacity, like they are right now, and at full potential to being all of those people there, you can know you're going to Hollywood Studios this day. We're going to keep using Ronto Roasters as y'all's, or no, I'm going to move on over to Woody's Lunchbox. you know you're going to have lunch at Woody's Lunchbox this day. You know the kids like the tachos with all the stuff on top. You can go in that morning and you can order what you want that day, and you can choose your time slot
that you want to pick it up. And I think that's really important. It's very important. The first thing you do is choose your time slot. And so doing, like you said, doing that early, you know, you're on the bus to the park that morning, or you're sitting in the hotel room that morning. Imagine not having the meltdown in line.
Isn't it great? And it's, you know, you choose it. We want to eat at 11:30. We're going to be typical people. We're going to have lunch right at 11:30. You walk up at 11:30, click I'm here, and they're going to have your food ready. Now, all those people that are standing around putting in their orders at 11:30 are probably, if it's busy day, are not going to eat till 12 or after, because that's what time they'll get their notification that they can come back, you know, and pick up their food. So it is key to do it early in the morning. Yeah.
As far as payment goes with mobile ordering, you will have a credit card that you've already put into your system. And so the payment is seamless. You'll just like other apps that we use on our day-to-day life, whether it's you know, your favorite coffee shop or whatever, your payment will be seamless. Or you can also put in Disney gift cards and use those as part of that. So
the great thing about mobile ordering is that you actually have the opportunity to customize your sandwich or whatever food that you happen to get. Because sometimes you have kids that don't want a tomato on there. So it lets you either add more or take
kids
away.
Kids and Wendy.
Yeah. So it makes it's very, very easy. And like Ryan said, it kind of helps those meltdowns. You already know what everybody wants, and it's customized to you and your family.
And Wendy brought it up at the beginning, practicing. I always tell folks, just practice with it. Order a meal and see what it's like. It's because one, it's very easy to use. And then you're a pro. You do it once or twice and you're a pro. And like I said earlier, this also is snacks. I've been in line at an attraction and we said, okay, we're going to get us this snack after we're out of this attraction. So as we're standing in line, we actually order the snack and it's ready to go right when we're done. It's a real seamless system.
And another advantage to that, this isn't a problem at Disney as much as it is at some other places, but we use mobile ordering a lot, not just at Disney, but everywhere, because when we have a special request like that, putting it in the mobile order where they get it printed out in writing or however they get it, it increases the chances that they're going to get your special request right, because it's not lost in the conversation or with an accent or something like that.
Yeah, good point.
It increases the chance that they get your order right.
So Disney used to, and my guess is they will again in the future, they used to have a dining plan. Christy, what is the dining plan that Disney had?
Well, Disney came out a few years ago with this great add-on to your vacation. And of course, they called it the dining plan, which really gave your Disney trip a all-inclusive feel.
Right.
They had three different types of levels. And when we talked earlier about kind of customizing how you were going to eat while you are on your Disney vacation, the dining plan went along with that. So if you're just going to go down there and you're just going to grab some quick stuff, they have what was called the quick service plan, where you had so many allotments per day to kind of, and you didn't have to use them all the same day. You could kind of stack them, which is more hints and tricks. So they had the quick service, then they had the table service, and then they added an additional level to a table service, like table service plus deluxe. And then they had the deluxe, the Mac Daddy, where you actually had the opportunity to eat three table service meals all day long.
If you got that, you would be. It's not that you had the chance to, but you would be eating all day.
You would be. Yeah. Forget riding. No shows. Right. We're just going to go hop from restaurant to restaurant.
So a combination of both meals and snacks.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a way to pay up front. It's a way to pay that off over time. So Wendy, is the meal plan or is the dining plan worth it in your opinion?
You know, that's going to depend on your family makeup, and what kind of eaters you are. Our listeners know I raised two lineman football players and then one skinny little ballerina. So yes, the dining plan worked for us. One thing I love is the all-inclusive feel. I don't like to have to pull my wallet out and pay for this and pay for that and pay for, I love just knowing it's already all taken care of. Yes, I've already paid for it, but I'm not having to pull the wallet out and just dole out money all day long. So I loved that. Yes. And being very smart with the dining plan, I do love the dining plan. We would choose buffet style meals where my boys were going to have all they wanted to eat. They were going to get full, and me not have to worry about, are we going to have to stop somewhere else and get another meal? Because they're going to have plenty. Now, a lot of people who have smaller or very picky eaters, it may not work out for them. A lot of people who've had gastric bypass, I don't find that it really is good for them, because they're not going to eat that much food in a day. Two snacks, one counter service meal, and one table service meal is what the table service dining plan consisted of. And that's actually a lot of food, because yeah, we talked about the sizes of the snacks. And also, if it's the middle of the summer, it was kind of hard to eat something so very big at lunchtime in the middle of the heat. So, yeah, you know, you have to find out, you know, your family, you know, what kind of eaters they are. Nobody in my household really shared anything. Now, the skinny little ballerina learned to eat really quick, because if she didn't, then her brothers were picking off her plate. So, you know, it did work for us. She wasn't going to eat enough food to make really it worth her while for her, but the other two made it definitely worth her while. I love dining plan. I look forward to it coming back.
Yeah, I think with our family, we've experienced several trips with several versions. And if you compare the cost of it, especially because the dining plans now include alcohol over the last couple of years, an alcoholic beverage, the price, you are saving money with the dining plan. However, if we compare with just what we would eat on a normal trip, we would never eat that much.
Right.
So we're paying more and we're getting more food, but we would never eat that much on a normal trip.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Shane, has your family had experience with, I know you've had the dining plan at Universal as a comparison.
What's that?
We should talk about Universal
or what's the dining plan at Universal?
What is this place?
Oh, come
place
on. No. We don't play that on this podcast.
We love to do that though, because I think that's a common misconception is that you're either one or the other.
Right.
That's both.
A big eye roll in my opinion. Yeah.
It's like, which house did you get? Which theme park did you get sorted into?
Exactly.
We're kind of light eaters. So we had a difficult time eating all the food. And so on the last day, we were buying up, or, you know, we were getting a lot of snacks that we didn't use during the trip.
Which is not having, a good economic.
No, it's not a good plan. That's not a good plan.
It's not.
And so, and you know, and that was on our first trip, and knowing that we have a difficult time eating that much, we don't usually get the plan. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I also, like Wendy, I love the convenience of when you buy your package before you go, it's already paid for. You know that, you know what you're going to spend on food because you've already paid it. And then using the magic bands, or I guess now they're going to be moving towards the using apps more than the magic band, but being able to pay with just that quick tap or that quick scan instead of having to dig out your wallet and cash or a card or something like that.
Right. Absolutely. With the dining plan, we don't know if it will come back or when it will come back, but it's certainly something that people have enjoyed in the past. It'll be interesting to see what Disney does with it. So with those 60-day reservations, it's important to note that online, those open at 6 a.m. Eastern time. If you would like help making those reservations on the phone, those phone lines open at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So a little bit of a time difference there. So also at 60 days, your dining is going to be your biggest one, but there are also, and Shane talked about this at the beginning of the show, there are a couple things that also open at 60 days that you may want to make reservations for to add to your Disney vacation experience. You can book a VIP tour at 60 days where it's your group Going around with a guide, getting VIP, you know, kind of behind the scenes access. Golf opens at 60 days, not the mini golf, but the regular golf courses that Disney has. Fishing opens at 60 days, and there's multiple chances to fish at Disney if that's of interest. And then those lightsabers and that droid building like Shane talked about. So any experience, folks, with any of these making reservations or you know, how these fit into to your past park experiences?
No, I have not taken part in any of those other 60-day markers. I haven't gone with any of my sons that wanted to build a lightsaber or do the droid depot yet, but I have done them for clients. But yeah, like Wendy said earlier, you really have to make sure that, and Shane did, when you're prioritizing times, if that's something that you really want to do, that you should go to that day first and take care of those particular items.
I mean, I had clients on a recent trip that it was two families, each doing a droid, a lightsaber, and Oga's Cantina, which you also make at 60 days, which is the Star Wars themed bar, all on the same day. And they were also trying to get Rise of the Resistance boarding passes all for that day. So it was
and really the sci-fi diner. Let's just throw that in there too.
Kind of staggering those experiences. It was successful, but you really had to think about how you were going to do all those things on that day.
Right.
Christy and Wendy, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about dining. You two are definitely experts with that. And it was neat to pick your brain and kind of get a Disney dining 101 today.
Well, thanks for having us. I feel like we all really almost skimmed the surface.
Sure. Absolutely.
But we do hope that what we've offered will be helpful to people. Sure. So thank you.
Maybe we sparked enough interest in the Disney dining that people will start looking or reaching out for help to any one of us or a travel agent advisor that maybe you know.
Absolutely.
And let's not wait another 42 episodes before we have them on again.
Right.
Absolutely.
But just in case, go ahead and put episode 84 on your calendars.
Okay. That works.
Yeah.
And so shameless plug, if you want to take a deep dive into all things Disney dining, we would love to have you listen to The Happiest Plate on Earth. That show comes out on Tuesday mornings. And so you can find that, just like all things travel, on all of the podcast hosts that you're used to listening to.
And the current promotion that Ryan mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you get two extra days added to your ticket when you buy a 4-night, 3-day room and ticket package at select Disney resort hotels. And this is valid for arrivals most nights through September 25th of 2021. And then don't forget, it's never too early to book, and packages are now available for 2022.
So we would love to help you plan your next amazing vacation, maybe to Walt Disney World. Reach out to us at vacationplanning@allthingstravelshow.com. And remember, our job is to make you a vacation planning superhero.
Wendy, if someone would like to contact you, what is the best way for them to do that?
You know what? There are three easy ways that they can contact me. Of course, my email is Wendy, W-E-N-D-I, @ creatingmagicvacations.com. You can also find me on Instagram @ Wendy, W-E-N-D-I, .corn, C-O-R-N, and the number 1. And of course, Magical Vacations with Wendy on Facebook.
Sounds good. And Christy, if someone would like to get in contact with you, how can they find you out there on the internet?
Thanks, Shane. First, most easiest usually is email. My email is Christy, and that is 500 ways to spell this, but I choose to spell it. It's K-R-I-S-T-I @ magicalwanderlustadventures.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, and my handle there is travel, 4, magical moments.
That's Wendy with an I and Christy with an I.
That's right.
And Shane with a Y, and Ryan is just spelled like Ryan.
Why? Because I like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the show so you can join us next time on All Things Travel.
And remember, never stop exploring. your astrological sign.
What's your sign, baby?
What you would be willing to do for $1 million.
Or a Klondike
bar. Or what's being recorded.
Or a Klondike bar.
I wouldn't do anything for a Klondike bar. I don't like ice cream.
What would you do?
One of these things is not like the other one.